Good morning, children.
Good morning.
How are we this morning?
Good.
Beautiful day outside that God has created, isn't it? How many times do we stop and think about that in the mornings as we get up, start our day? Sometimes we forget about that, don't we? Such a beautiful thing that God has created for us to be able to enjoy and to see every day and to be a part of. As we start our lesson today, anybody have any prayer requests? Special prayer requests this morning? Michael and Stephen.
Linda.
Heavenly Father, as we come to Thee today, Lord, we thank You once again for this day that You've given us, for the beautiful creation that You've given us to enjoy, and this time on this earth. Dear Lord, we pray that You will give us Your strength and guidance and Your wisdom, Lord, to do Your will, to be a good servant unto Thee, to do all things for Thee. We pray for these special prayer requests. We pray for the ones that are on the mission field, and for the ones that have been here and left, Lord. We pray that You will be upon their hearts, that they will not have rest until they see the truth again, Lord, that they will come back to Thee and try to serve Thee, Lord. Pray that You'll give us strength today. Help us to have Your words and to do Your will. Pray that You will be with Brother David as he brings Your word this morning, that You will use him as a special tool, Lord, and give him Your wisdom and strength, guidance to say Your words and to do Your will. We pray for all the ones here, for all the families, that You will guide and be with them. Thank You for all Your mercy and kindness upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, this morning we're in Job 3, chapter 3. And last week, as Cody was up here, he spoke a little bit about there in 2, that kind of there at the last, Job's three friends had come to visit with him, hadn't they? They come to see him in his time of sickness. As in the first two chapters, we've seen that God allowed Satan to put afflictions upon Job. First of all, he took away possessions that he had of his cattle and livestock and homes and his children. Took all that away from him, and we saw that wasn't enough to make him bend, so Satan wanted more. So God allowed him to put a sickness upon him. And so he had sores from the very bottoms of his toes all the way to the tops of his head. And we know when we don't feel good, it's very rough. And besides having the heartache of losing his family and all the things that he knew, his well-being, the way that he made a living for his family, the way he provided food and all that, he lost all that. He lost basically everything. And then now he also has a sickness upon him. And we see that his friends come with him and want to sit with him. And as they first came, they just came and they sat the first 7 days around him. They couldn't even hardly recognize how sick he was from all the sores and from all the things that had happened to him in his sickness. He didn't even hardly recognize who he was, the three friends. But for the first 7 days, they just sat there and never said a word. Nobody said a word. And was just there and kind of mourning for his affliction that he had upon him. But we see that so far Job has been a trustful servant, hadn't he? He didn't blame God for all the things that had happened to him so far. He still knew that that God had given him all that, and God was allowed to take all that away. But we see, as we begin in his chapter 3, that in a way he kind of falters a little bit. Not that he's blaming God, but we see that he begins to wonder why that he was even born. And so we'll start out and read the chapter, and then we'll talk a little bit about it as we get done. After this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, "Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Lo, let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come there within. Let them curse it that curse the day who are ready to raise up their morning. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light, but have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day. Because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me, or why the breast that I should suck? For now should I have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept, then had I been at rest. With kings and counselors of the earth, which built desolate places for themselves, or with princes that had gold, who filled their houses with silver. Or as a hidden unto me birth, I had not been as infants which never saw light. There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. There the prisoners rest together, they hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small and great are there, and the servant is free from his master. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hidden treasures, which rejoice exceedingly, and are glad when they can find the grave. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid, and whom God has hedged in? For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly fear is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came." So we see here that Job is kind of just basically wishing that day had never happened. To kind of strike it from the record that he wouldn't have been born, or that why at that time when he was born that he just didn't die, and that he had to become a person and a man. But we know that God has created us all for a special reason. We all have our special things that God has given us. He created us, and we should be thankful for that time. I know a lot of times that as we grow up and as we go through life, there's a lot of times that we wish that when we start having troubles that maybe we should have never been here. But that ain't the way we should look at it. We should be thankful that God did create us. And because of that, we have the opportunity to have eternal life with God. If we had never been born, then we would never have that opportunity to actually have life ever after with God forever. So we should be thankful for that. We should be thankful that He did give us the creation and that we were able to be born. And even though we have all those troubles and trials on this earth and during this time, it's just a short time compared to life everlasting with Him. And we would have never got to experience that if we had never been created. So we see that Job kind of faltered here a little bit, but yet we see that Job still is not blaming God for it. He just is kind of tampering a little bit in wondering why God did what he did or was wishing that God hadn't done. And as we read on in the chapters, the next chapter, next week, you'll read a little bit more about what the answer is to that, that is given to him kind of in a vision, in a dream, of him not feeling that way. But we know that Job has went through a lot, and we know that at the beginning, like Satan said, that God had a hedge around Job, which meant that things probably went pretty well for Job. I'm sure he still had troubles and he still had to make decisions in everyday life of things that come up and things that might happen as far as droughts or things that rough years for the garden or whatever they might come upon, you know, and raising his children. But yet, in the majority of the things, God kind of had a hedge around Job because Job was a faithful servant. And so God recognized that. And he kind of took, that's what Satan wanted. He wanted that chance to be able to get within that hedge, to be able to do what is the worst for us. And Satan knows that. Satan knows our weak points. He knows where to hit us the hardest and where we're the weakest at. And so we have to be able to be strong in those points, to learn to have discipline and focus on our weak parts, our weak points, to be able to combat that. But we don't need to try to combat it on our own, because the Lord is our strength. And as long as we put it in His hands, then He will be the one that will fight that battle for us. He will be able to put that hedge around us and help us in those times, if we're willing to surrender to Him. But that's part of it, is surrendering. Sometimes we think we're strong enough as human that we can fix things on our own. And that isn't always the case. We can't fix it on our own a lot of times. A lot of times we have to put our strength in the Lord. And that's where we need to do it. So we see here today that Job is still... We'll read on and see what happens to Job as we go through. I'm sure a lot of you have maybe already heard this story before and kind of know what is coming. But we know that Job is having a lot of trials, and he's having a lot right now. So we'll see how the outcome comes. Do we have any questions today about the lesson, about the chapter? Okay. So what was we supposed to do for this week?
Look up verses about honoring your parents and recite the books of the Bible again.
Okay. All right. What do we want to do? Let's do our verses first, then. And I'll stand up and we'll start with our verses. Stand up.
Ephesians 6:2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise.
Okay.
Deuteronomy 4:5-16, honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy day may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord. Ephesians 6:2-3. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord. Matthew 19:19. Honor thy father and thy mother, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Ephesians 6:1. Judge not by your parents the Lord. This is right.
Matthew 15:4.
I would like to go a little bit further, and maybe some of you could kind of tell me in your own words what you think that is by honoring your father and your mother.
Obeying your father and mother and going the extra mile
to do. Okay, going the extra mile.
Doing it well,
yes. The best that you can. Without talking back, very good.
Doing it right away.
Right away.
Expecting
them, obeying them. Anyone else?
Doing it because you want to.
That's having the right kind of heart, isn't it? It's very good. Anyone else? How about maybe sometimes doing it without being asked, when you know it would be something that they would want you to do? How about that? That's one. They're all very good points. Let's put those into practice. Very good. All right, I guess we'll do like we did last week and stand up and kind of get in the line. We'll start saying the book. This time we'll start this way. The first book of the Bible. The Old Testament. I'll start us off. Genesis. We had 1st and 2nd Samuel, and then what's after that? Huh? 1st Kings. Then, okay.
1st Chronicles, 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah,
Esther, Job. Okay, and back over here. Psalms. Very good. Be a servant of God. All right.